The message you are about to hear by the Right Reverend John W. Howe is entitled The Prayer of Jabez.
20 years ago, I could hardly believe it was 20 years ago, but I counted it up. It was. Alex Haley was writing his blockbuster Roots, and I was a chaplain at a school in New England. And we had him come and lecture us. And it was one of the most extraordinary lectures I've ever heard in my life. It was probably about 3 hours in length. And he told the story of Roots in one long lecture. But he also told the story of researching the story of Roots. It was kind of like two levels. How he found that incredible connection in Africa to his own family, to the boyhood stories that he had heard his grandmother telling when he was a youngster, and traced back his heritage back to a tribe in Africa. And some of you will remember, either from the book or from the miniseries on television, how he went to Senegal, to the area of the Gambia River, into this little village, and there was what they called the old man. And the old man had one job in life, and that was to tell the stories. And he would tell the stories over and over and over again. And there was this oral tradition of passing down the stories from one generation to another. And he said the old man was probably in his 70s, and then he had a young man in his 60s who was in training to take over when the old man got too old or died. And then there was another one in his 50s and another one in his 40s. And there was a group of men whose whole job in life was to learn the stories and pass them on. They didn't have any written record. And as the old man is telling his stories, and this is being translated to Alex Haley, and he's hearing this go on and on and on, all of a sudden, he recognized the very same story that had been handed down by his grandmother, about the one that she called that African who had come over to this country, who was captured. You remember the story how he was captured and brought over to this country and sold in slavery and learned for the first time that African's name was Kunta Kinte. Incredible story. And Haley made two comments about the old man that I thought were absolutely fascinating. He said, first of all, that the stories sounded exactly like the Old Testament. You'd have genealogy and genealogy and genealogy and genealogy, and then all of a sudden a little pause, and there would be a vignette. You know, just name after name after name, so on begat, so-and-so and so-and-so, and then pause and tell a little story that was significant. And then more genealogy. Sounded exactly like the Old Testament. And number two, he said the incredible care that was given to the telling of these stories and the power of the oral tradition. What it said to me was, you know, all those folks who say, well, how can you believe? I mean, it was handed down from one generation. And he says, listen, number one, when you have a pre-literate people, their memories are tested and strengthened, and they have incredible ability to retain the story word for word for word for word. But number two, you've got these folks who make it their whole business to tell the story. So that was very encouraging. And I just wanted to share that with you as a little piece of background to look at a story like that. In 1 Chronicles, we have genealogy and a bunch of names and a bunch of names and a bunch of names, and then all of a sudden, a little vignette. Little tiny vignette, so small you might go right over it and not even notice it. 1 Chronicles 4, if you want to take a look at it with me. 1 Chronicles 4, and it starts out, the sons of Judah, Perez, Haran, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reiah, son of Shobal, became the father of Jahath, and Jahath became the father of Ahumai and Lahad. And these were the families of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etham, and so on and so on and so on. Name after name after name. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, a little story. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. Jabez was honored more than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked. That's the whole story. Take a look at it with me. The name Jabez means pain, or literally, he gives pain. How'd you like to have that for your name? Every time your mother calls you, "Pain!" You are a pain. He gives pain. Who gives pain? Who gives pain? Yeah, you might say it's this baby giving me. No, that would be a self-reflective. He gives pain. God gives pain. Pain. Every childbirth is painful. But to give somebody a name like this means it was incredibly, unusually difficult labor, difficult delivery, terrible pain. God gives pain. Isn't that a nice theology? God gave me this intolerable pain in the birth of this child. Notice that his mother named him. What does that tell you? I mean, that is very unusual. The father names the child. Think of the story of Kunta Kinte. You remember how it begins? With the father meditating on what name I shall give this child, and he doesn't tell anyone, including the mother, until he takes the child out under the starry heavens and he holds him up for God to see, and he whispers in the child's ear, "Your name is Kunta Kinte." That's the way it was all over the world. That's certainly the way it was in ancient Hebrew society. The father names the child. This tells you that either the father is dead or absent, or he wants nothing to do with this kid who is a pain sent from God upon my wife and upon me. After all, his very birth, with its unusual suffering for Jabez's mother, is an expression of God's judgment. Everybody knows that, right? Very common theology. If you are sick, you've done something to deserve it. You remember the little interchange about the blind man? Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus didn't have that theology. He said, no, God has allowed this that his glory might be seen. But that was the common theology. If you've got a problem, God is punishing you. And God is a just God. He doesn't punish people unless they deserve it. So this painful child is an expression of God's judgment. Notice there were other children who no doubt looked down upon Jabez and reminded him at every chance they got that he was the problem. He is the child of God's displeasure. Whenever anything ever goes wrong, it's his fault, right? Can't you just see the relationships? You grow up in a society that believes sickness and pain are the expression of God's judgment, with a dead or an absent father or one who wants nothing to do with you, with a mother who calls you a pain, with brothers who say you are the reason for everything that goes wrong in your family, and you're going to have a bit of a problem with your self-image. What would you expect Jabez to think about God? Why has he made me this way? What's wrong with me? But somehow, he has the grace to believe otherwise, that God is a God of blessing. And he dares to ask God, bless me. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and let your hand be upon me and keep me from harm. And God granted what he asked. Why? Because that is the nature of God, to bless, and because Jabez asked rightly. Just like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God until he blesses me. What a marvelous story that is. I mean, Jacob is a dirty sneak thief. That's what his name means. It means the supplanter. You remember the story of Jacob? I mean, he sells out his brother. He tricks him with a bowl of stew to give away his birthright. He tricks his blind father to give him the blessing that should have gone to Esau. He is a dirty sneak thief. But he wrestles with the angel of God until he blesses him. And it's as if he admits, yes, I am Jacob. That's what I am. I am a dirty sneak thief, but I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And the angel of God, speaking in the name of God, blesses him. And what does he do? Changes his name. Gives him a new nature. Now you're going to be Israel. Like the woman with the issue of blood who reaches out and lays hold of the blessing. Jesus says, I felt power go out of me. Incredible. Do you know you can lay hold of the power of God? Oh, that you would bless me! So Jabez understood the character of God in spite of bad treatment and bad theology. He got what he asked. The significance of that, I want to suggest to you that it's okay to pray that kind of a prayer. Indeed, Jabez was honored more than his brothers. Just as Jacob was honored more than his brother Esau, because he rightly perceived God to be a God of blessing, and he asked him. It's okay to pray that kind of a prayer. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. I think this is one of the most remarkable little insights along this same line. Comes in the midst of a terrible prophecy of God's judgment coming upon his people. But he says, after going on page after page, chapter after chapter, Ezekiel 36, find Isaiah, Jeremiah, turn right. Page after page, chapter after chapter of God's judgment upon his people, but then he turns it around and he says, that's not going to go on forever. I am going to give you a season of discipline, but it's not going to go on forever. And in verse 22, the whole thing turns around. He says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. I will display my holiness before their eyes. Verse 24, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He goes on and on and on and on, having pronounced all this judgment. Now he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to bless and I'm going to bless and I'm going to bless. I'm going to bring you back to your own land. I'm going to reestablish you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to give you a new heart and a new nature. Notice he says, I'm not doing it because you've earned it. I'm doing it for my own namesake. And it goes on all the way to the end of the chapter. Verse 33, thus says the Lord, on the day that I will cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the towns to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. The land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And on and on and on. And you wonder, where is this all going to end? as it builds and it builds and it crescendos, and God just says, I'm going to heap blessings upon you and blessings upon you, and here's where it ends. Verse 37, thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel ask me to do this. Now wait a minute. We've just had a half of a chapter here. I will do this. I will do this. And I'll also do this. I'll let you ask me to do it. I will let you ask me to do what I purpose to do, and when you ask, I will do it. You get it? When you ask, this also will I do. I will let them ask me to do it. We've noted many times that in Scripture, when God wants to call attention to something, to say it's very important, what does He do? He repeats it, says it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Jesus has a little formula He says over and over, verily, verily, truly, truly. This is doubly important. Pay attention to this. The one thing that is repeated three times is what? Holy, holy, holy. It's the one thing that is repeated three times. That tells you that is raised to the exponential power of three. Very, very extremely important. But did you know that in the teaching of Jesus, there is a place in which He says something six times? Look at John 14. In the midst of that discussion where He says, I'm going away, and Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus says, have I been with you all this time and you don't know me? In verse 12, He says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Verse 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you hear it? In case you didn't, He repeats it. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 17. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. Chapter 16, verse 23, very truly I tell you, that's verily, verily, that's a double within it. I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name, ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Ask, 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 ask! And I'll do it. Now, obviously, that is not magic. Obviously, there are conditions. Number one, ask in my name. If you know something is not according to His will, you can't ask in His name. You can repeat the words, but you're not asking in His name, because to ask in His name is to ask according to His nature, according to His character, according to His will. Abide in Him and ask. If you're not abiding in Him, you're not asking correctly. If His words are not abiding in you, if it's contrary to His word, I mean, how many times have people read the Word of God, seen what He says, and asked Him for something else? If my words are not abiding in you, you can't ask in my name. And if it's mere selfishness that is motivating you, you can't ask appropriately. James says, you have not because you ask not. Or if you ask, you ask wrongly in order to spend it on your own pleasures. Obviously, there are conditions. Obviously, some prayers are not granted, or at least not immediately, or at least not in the way we initially pray them. Obviously, there are some problems. But I want to challenge you tonight. Get past the problems and look at the promises. Ask, 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 ask. And this also I will do for them. I will let them ask. And if you go on asking and go on seeking the Father's face and His direction, your prayers will be shaped and changed by the Spirit of God as you pray, so that they're brought into conformity with His will and you are praying according to His will for you. And your prayers will empower the thing that He wants to take place. Most of us give up much too soon. Most of us don't pray through until the Spirit of God can fashion those prayers until we get onto the ground of the Father's good pleasure. A sixfold promise to bless you as He blessed Jabez. He got what he asked. Add up all the objections and qualifications and you're still left with the promise of the Lord Jesus repeated six times over. And either God is mocking us, or we're giving up much too easily. I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself to be persistent in prayer. How many have you ever heard somebody say that I prayed once, and for me to pray again is unfaith? Have you ever heard that? That's a widespread teaching, but it doesn't come from Jesus. He gives the parable of the woman knocking on the door of the judge and won't take no for an answer. Not to say that that's what God is like, but to say that that's what faith is like. You've got to understand the point of the parable. It's not that God is like the unrighteous judge. It's that the woman is an example of faith. Keep on knocking. Or the friend who wants food in the middle of the night. It's not that God is like the reluctant neighbor. That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is be like that persistent, that importunate friend who keeps on asking. 1 John 5, verse 14 says this, "This is the boldness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of Him." This is the boldness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of Him. The prayer of Jabez. Oh, that You would bless me. That You would enlarge my borders. It's okay to pray that. That Your hand would be upon me. That's a good prayer. That You would keep me from all hurt and harm. And he got what he asked for. The peace of the Lord be always with you.